And it's not just this flesh body, because this is just dust. It means those desires that we have from our mind, our hearts, that is continually taking us to try to bring sin in our life. But then we also have the control of God through the Holy Spirit in our life. And that's the one that we need. That's the one that we need to pursue every single second of our life. And hopefully today, through the scripture, we can learn more about it, to continue open more that to the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit will lead everything. And in the scripture, we can go through Old Testament, New Testament, and we can see all related to government and govern and everything. But I don't want to go through all the specific of that. I just want to give the glory to God through the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead this whole conversation today. And through the scripture, let the scripture get inside of your heart and mind and let it control you. The scripture, not me, not anyone else, just the scripture of God. Because that's the one that is leading you. Sorry, every leader, every minister, name it, every leader, it can be in different realms, they can go as far as they know or they have knowledge. Meaning, why I talk about that, why maybe other leaders or pastors, also ministers, talk about something specific, because I was blessed by God through the scripture of God. That's what transformed me. That's what helped me to be today where I'm at right now. And that's what I give the glory to God based on His scripture, His word, the experiences that He's given to me, and that's what I have in my heart, and that's what I literally pour into you guys. So that way you guys can also, if you see any benefits, take it and then give God's glory and use it for your benefit. That's all. And in the scripture, we will continue learning more about the spirit and about the flesh. But today, there's something really nice and beautiful that I have been experiencing. And it will be those two concepts or two things that we are facing every day. And in order to let that happen in our life, I want to start with Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 13, the scripture says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the spirit, in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." What he says, really quick, what it says in Psalm 51:5. This is David. "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." It looks like John didn't have to go through that. Not me, the Baptist. According to scripture, it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So what I'm trying to share with Luke over here is that there's too many mentions about the Holy Spirit over here. Just starting, we're not in Jesus Christ yet. And the Holy Spirit start working already. And we can go through the Old Testament. There's some other stories and manifestations over there also. But we can see that starting in the gospel, Luke chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is working in preparation. Luke 1:67, it says, now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Again, we're not there yet with Jesus Christ. We're just talking before 180. So the child grew and became strong in spirit. Keep in mind, lower capital S is talking about this human spirit that we talked last weekend. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. What happened with Jesus Christ? This is John the Baptist. And now, this John the Baptist, he was fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. He's in the desert. The same thing happened to Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, he was baptized by John the Baptist, fulfilled by the Holy Spirit, come out as a figure of dove, came the Holy Spirit, and that's a representation that the Holy Spirit fulfilled Jesus Christ in that moment. And now, Jesus Christ went, the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, took Jesus Christ to the desert in preparation. 40 days. Got tempted. Now that he surpassed that, he's ready for the ministry. John the Baptist, he was already fulfilled by the Holy Spirit from his mom. Maybe some of us are like David. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe the Holy Spirit is dealing with you from the womb of your mom. Maybe we didn't. But the Holy Spirit is the one that is leading everything. And what I'm trying to share, it is, let the Holy Spirit lead, govern everything in your life. Everything. According to David, and maybe some of us, I can be one of those. From the womb of our mom, my mom gave birth, and then I was in sin, and I still have the flesh and sin. But the Holy Spirit is dealing with us, helping with us, so that way we can be governed by the Holy Spirit and then fulfill and be the control of everything in our life. The flesh is going to continue doing that every day. But it's going to be our role and responsibility to make that decision if we're really going to let the flesh control everything and govern us or not. And who say that? Who talk about that? Let's go to Romans. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, capital S, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. And that's what I believe, that is God leading us today. To let the Spirit lead us and govern us. And take a look 5. those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. Simple, simple math. If you are governed by the flesh is going to govern you. And then it's going to control everything, all your thoughts, all your movement, activity, attitude, everything will be impulsed, influenced by the flesh because it's governing you. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now it's changing the story here. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So, who is governing you right now? It's not your boss. It's not Trump. Sorry. That's here on the earth. Forget about that. The most important thing is inside of you, your life, spiritual. Who is governing you right now? And you might be saying, Christ, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Are you being honest with yourself? Is really governing you right now? Everything that you're doing in your single life, everything that you are doing is really manifested, governed by the Spirit or by God, or by the flesh? Who is governing you right now? Because sometimes we explode, right? Something's happening in our life and we're just like, reactive right away. And maybe that's the flesh. So then we're dealing with this thing right now, what Paul is talking about. But then he's sharing with the Romans and sharing with us right now through the scripture, saying, be governed by the Spirit, because that's going to provide you life and peace. Unless you don't want to get life and peace, then okay, then get condemnation. So there you go, simple. It's simple math. Live by the flesh. Enjoy the life by the flesh. There's condemnation at the end, so it's up to you. But if you want life, if you want peace, if you want the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit govern your heart and your life. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in everything. John 3:34. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. So merciful, beautiful God. Thank you. I don't deserve it, for sure. I know that. We know that. Thank you that you are allowing us to receive the Holy Spirit without limit. Come on, guys. Without limit. There's no restriction. He's so merciful that he's giving you and me the Holy Spirit. The one that is leading everything pretty much. The one that also helped and support Jesus Christ when he was here on the earth. The Lord that you and I believe and trust, that died and resurrected for you and for me. In the background, who was helping him? It was the Holy Spirit. And you and I, we need it. The one that we need. Ask for it. There's no limit. There's no restriction. I hope this scripture that I'm going to share now is going to then answer the question, but then how I can get it? Because you receive Jesus Christ. Some people call sanctification every single day that we're going through those things. We learned last weekend, according to this same scripture in Romans 8, 11, right? And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit you put But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. The Scripture is talking over here that the Holy Spirit is the one that is governing the Spirit that we have in us. But we have to let that happen. 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself, take a look. This is the one that we shared last weekend. 16, the Spirit himself testify with our spirit. That we are God's children. Spirit of God and our spirit. So it's like the Spirit is over there talking to our spirit. Hey, you are children of God. What are you doing? Don't let the flesh control you and govern you. Let me control this. I am life. I am peace. I am the one that also helped and supported Jesus Christ. I was the one that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's the one that you and I have. Or we have it if we like it. If we like it. We can have it. If you don't have it, you can receive it right now. Hallelujah. Praise God to that. Okay. Really quick. The scripture. Let's go to Matthew. I'm going to start sharing 3 points really quick to you guys. Hopefully these help with the how. Hallelujah. Luke 9. We're going to, let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, it says, 40. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you, men, keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. This is the beautiful thing that is coming right now. Lower capital S, talking to the human spirit, to my spirit. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So just take that picture. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's just going to pray, going up to the mountain, and now he have Peter, James, and Jacob, if I'm not wrong. And now they're over there, and he say, okay, stay here, pray 1 hour. I'm going to pray over there, like they call it a throw of a stone. That's how far he was praying. So he was over there praying. When he come back, these guys are sleeping. And now he say, hey, guys, what are you doing? The Spirit is always willing. The Spirit is always open. The Spirit is always encourage. Always. But the flesh is the one that is weak, that is make you sleep. So if we let the Spirit being governed by the Holy Spirit, that's another story. That's gonna be these guys will not be sleeping. This guy will be fighting over there with Jesus Christ. But no. They were governed by the flesh. And then they just fall asleep. How many fall asleep here when during prayer? Come on. Come on, let's be honest. Right? Yeah. Rudy, he's talking about Rudy. Hi, Rudy, if you're watching us, God bless you. When we're going through that process, that we're letting the flesh be governed, or the us being governed by the flesh, then we're going to be falling asleep. We're not going to be encouraged by the Spirit. We're not going to be controlled and governed by the Spirit. Then we don't have the willingness that the Bible is saying over here. The Spirit is always willing, but let the Spirit be led by the Holy Spirit. In this scripture, it just reminds me something that happened in Luke. Luke 10. The Spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, Luke 10, 19. You guys remember this story, Transfiguration. 10, 19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, say, praise you. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Okay, Luke 9. This is going to be related to the Transfiguration. Let's go over there. 9:28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter, here we go again, our friend Peter, and his companions were very, these guys, they have the Lord in front of them. I'm not going to judge them because I was not there. Maybe I was, if I was over there, maybe I would do the same thing. I don't know. So I'm not going to point to them because who knows? We have to be there to live that experience to make a right judgment, I guess. So according to Scripture, it says that he was with his companion, again, sleepy. And this is before the event of the Gethsemane when Jesus Christ was praying. Again, this guy, he's sleepy. And look what happened. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory. And the two men standing with him. Oh, now I can see. Now I'm awake. Because I'm not sleepy anymore, I can see his glory. I can see the glory of Jesus Christ in that moment. But if I'm sleepy, I'm not going to see his glory. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter says to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, in other translation, tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son who I have chosen. Listen to him." This is God speaking now. Now it's God talking. This guy, he was sleepy with his friends or disciples. And now, because he's being governed by the flesh, he say, "Master, let's build three shelters over here. I want to stay over here." I'm getting in some waters that maybe sounds not good, but I'm going to throw it over there just because I like the balance. I don't like to go to lean too much to one side if we don't know too much. So I just try to be careful. This guy with the disciples, they went up to the mountain. They see Jesus Christ transfiguration. Come on, this is a miracle. I don't know how we will be reacting right now, nowadays, if we see something like that. I don't know. Maybe we will take a selfie. Maybe, I don't know. So these guys were experiencing something glorious right now. He's sleepy, so he's being governed by the flesh. And now the first thing that he's saying to Jesus Christ, it is, "Let's build three shelters because I like what I'm seeing. I like the manifestation that I'm seeing right now. I don't want to go down the mountain. I want to stay here." And God show up and talk to them. According to the scripture, it says over there in Luke in parentheses, they don't know what they were asking for. In other words, that was not the right request. Honest and transparent. You and me, we see some manifestations, glorious things like that, and we just want to stay over there because we like it and we want to. And that's fine. That's what I want to be careful with what I'm saying right now, because we want to push for that, and I want to push for that for sure. I experience different things right now in my life being a Christian, glorious things from God, from Jesus Christ, greatest testimonies. Praise God for that. But the experience that this guy was having right now here, it is amazing to reveal to us, this is not what you're supposed to do, Peter. Don't build the shelters over here and walk down the mountain. Don't stay here in this glorious thing. It was nice that you experienced that. Great. Go down to the mountain and talk to the people what you saw over there. If God allow you to experience that, great. Praise God to that. Walk down the mountain and then preach to the people about what God showed you and revealed to you. God talked to Peter and says, "This is my son that I choose. Thank you. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, 'This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him.' When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time why they had seen." Take a look what happened in 37. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. Don't stay in the mountain. Came down. That's one of the points that I want to share with you guys today. Don't stay in the mountain in that moment, because there's more. Don't just stay in that beautiful moment experience that you had. Remember, we talked about this last weekend. To become poor, you have to, anyway it was good, those experiences that we have in the past, give it away, sell it, become poor, so that way you can receive the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit govern you. Don't stay in that mountain. Just walk down, because there's people, there's crowd that is waiting for you. That God appointed, not anyone else. And if God appointed, if God is doing everything, it's God. He's your creator, he's your father, he's your everything. Walk down the mountain, talk to the people. Preach to the people what God did to you. And it doesn't have, it did not need to be thousands. According to the scripture, it says a crowd over here. But if it's just one person that you can change because God appointed to you, that's huge. That's amazing. That's powerful. All the glory to him. Don't stay in that mountain. That's what I want to just share with you guys. Number one, the Spirit is always willing. Come down from the mountain. And the last one, but not least. The same one that we were reading. Matthew 26. 26:40. The scripture says, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. That's the last one that I want to share with you guys. So that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. That's the last one. We know what is pray. And it's not just coming over here every Wednesday. And it's not just kneeling to pray to God for 1 minute, 2 minutes. Pray is a conversation with God every single second. Having a relationship with him. Praying with him all the time, talking to him. He's the one leading your life. The Holy Spirit is the one leading to your life. He's going to help you to continue being praying and constant praying with him. I know sometimes we have the mentality, and it's good that you take some time, like me time, like I was sharing the other day, a me time to pray, a time to be in reflection with God. That's good. That's fine. Praise God. But you have to be in constant communication with him. Any way you're eating, any way you're taking a shower, any way you're at work, any way you are anywhere, always praising him, talking to him, praying to him, blessing people, blessing family members. That's a spirit being governed by the Holy Spirit. And the watch point of view, it is a person that is always watching or being vigilant of what's going on to his surroundings, not letting the flesh that is weak, that we know what is going to be happening if we let the flesh govern us. Not letting the flesh govern us is being a person that is watchful, a person that is watching all the time for anything that it can create my flesh to govern my life. And that's why Jesus Christ says, watch and pray. That way you will not fall into temptation and then let your flesh, which is weak, to govern you. The Spirit is always willing. Let the Holy Spirit govern your heart. And if you don't feel that, come on. We are here to pray for you. We are here to pray for you, guys. Let the Holy Spirit lead in you, govern you, govern your house, your family. The scripture that I was reading in Luke 10, before the reading the Transfiguration, pay attention to when it says in Luke 10:20, however, do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you. Once again, I'm saying this with careful, because we have the power, we have the authority according to Scripture, that when we declare or rebuke any impure spirit, thank you, or demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, they're supposed to be subject to that. And no, nope, I'm not going there. But this is Jesus Christ talking. He say over here, do not rejoice that those spirits submit to you, because the disciples were over there. Imagine what happened, Jesus. I rebuked 10 demons and they were out in your name. That was me. And Jesus Christ, come on, guys, don't go over there. Don't go there. Because that's the line find that we need to be careful, because then you're maybe allowing the flesh to govern. And that's why he say over here, rejoice in or that your names are written in heaven. But that the spirits, that they are subject in the name of Jesus Christ, yes, let's do it. But don't let the mountain experience to govern your life. It's good, beautiful, praise God to that. Let's go down the mountain and let's continue preaching to the people. Amen? I'm here, and I want to pray for you guys. If you need anything or any prayer, I want to pray for you. Let the Holy Spirit govern your heart and your life. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you. We praise you and we worship you. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your word. We believe in you and we trust in you. Thank you for the power and authority that you are giving to us through the Holy Spirit. And we declare and proclaim that any enemy of our soul, our flesh, is downcasted, and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare your glory and your power over us all the time. We send blessings over these people and over the people that they couldn't make it today over here because of weather. We send blessings over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your blessing, for your scripture, and thank you for the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit, and we proclaim and declare that the Holy Spirit is governing this church. And he's governing our hearts, our life, our spirit, governing everything. Governing our families, governing our works, governing everything. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your glory and your presence. And we declare that you already appointed the people that you want us to preach and talk about, like Elburn. We declare blessings over Elburn and all the people that is coming from Elburn and from other places to this church, because you declare that they are coming to here. We declare blessings over them, and the Holy Spirit is touching their hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, your power, your glory, and your authority is here, and we declare those blessings over everyone in this place. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. It's my time. It's my turn to do the communion. Hallelujah. So we are going to give the communion. The scripture. Verse 23, Paul is sharing this with the Corinthians, and also now the scripture we commemorate and remember Jesus Christ, what he did for you and for me. Remember, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helped Jesus Christ to survive the suffering, to survive everything, not removing anything out of Jesus Christ. But I just want to point it out that the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is helping him, and he's also helping you and me. And we're doing this today, like we do it every single month, which is another thing that I like to mention. If you want to do this, I don't know, every single week from your house, any place, do so. This is not just to do it every first day of the month over here. Do it at home with your family. Remember Jesus Christ, what he did. Do that with your family so they can also see and learn what is the greatness thing that Jesus Christ did for us for our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So it's a beautiful moment in time that Jesus Christ did this specifically before the event of the suffering and crucifixion and resurrection, to just show us what he did for us. So I want you to just think about him, remember that moment. And you have the bread in your hand right now. You can break it. And just remember how his body was broken for you and for me. Think about it. Praise him for that. Because he showed us that it's possible. It's possible to love. It's possible to survive all the sufferings that we have in his name with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. Thank you for everything that you did and that you are continuing doing. You are still praying for us in the right hand of our Father God. Thank you. We're doing this in remembrance of you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." So, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you. This is the covenant of the new blood that is cleaning and purifying us. Thank you for that. We praise you and we worship you. We remember you, not this moment, but every single moment of our life. And we're doing this in remembrance of you until you come. We're still waiting here. But in the meantime, we're going to continue praising you, worshiping you, and here with the church, proclaiming you together. We love you, and we praise you, and we worship you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Church, thank you again for being here today. Thank you for driving over here with this weather. Appreciate that. Always continue looking for each other, helping each other, gathering together, and helping, loving each other. That's the unity. And I know God is looking for that all the time. If anything happened Let's just work around, work together. We are just a human beings that love Jesus Christ, love what he did, and we are just a representative of God over here on the earth, all together. Let's love each other and continue. Don't stay over there. Come down. Preach, talk, proclaim, declare in the name of Jesus Christ all the things that he's having for you to come to your life. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit lead in all the time. We love you. And like always, if you guys need any prayer, we're here to pray for you. If not, we have people also that we can pray over here. So please come forward. We can pray for you if you have any needs or any requests that you have. And if not, then I wish you the best. Wish you a great day. I know I have to say it. Go Bears. Because everyone, that's the main topic today. So good luck. I declare that everything is going to be great for you and also this week. Praise God for your life and for your family and for everything that he's doing. Okay? Love you, church. God bless you. Be a doers, not just listeners. Amen. God bless you. Love you.